For the last couple of months, we've been exploring through John 15, talking about what Jesus had to tell his disciples about the vine and the branches, that Jesus alone is our source, that all of our life comes from Christ, that we are called to abide in his love and to love one another, that God has a plan for bruised and broken believers. And all of this has been a response to the second phrase of our theme verse this year, as Isaiah 43:19 declared, "Behold, I will do a new thing, now it shall spring forth." This morning, as I come to the conclusion of that series of messages, I want to ask you a question. So, what shall spring forth? When God says through Isaiah, "Now is the time, now it shall spring forth," what is he saying? He's saying he wants things to change in your life, in our church, in our families, in the lives of believers everywhere in our nation. God wants to see righteousness spring forth in the lives of his people. He wants bold and committed disciples of Christ to live in a way that brings honor to Jesus and brings transformation to the world. How does that happen? Well, Jesus told us in the upper room. He said it calls for a living faith. And this morning, as we come to the conclusion of these messages, as we have spent so much time with Christ and his disciples in the upper room, as we've looked at what he has to say about, "I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser and you are the branches," and about bearing fruit, I want us to complete this, but not at John 15. This morning, I want us to go back to the passage we read together just a few moments ago in Colossians chapter 2, because it's there that the Bible gives us some practical guidance about how to be a living branch of the vine, how to carry our life out with living faith. Colossians simply says this in those two verses we read together. It says the Christian life is something that happens to me, and then it's something that happens through me. It is an experience that I have with the Lord, in which he changes me on the inside, but that's not the end of it. And then he begins to work through me as I exercise a living faith. So this morning I want to invite you to go with me to the Word, and we're going to look together very quickly and very practically at what the Bible has to say about carrying out your life with a living faith. And the first thing the Bible says is this. It simply says a living faith begins with a definite experience with Christ. Colossians says it this way. "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him." It was interesting a while ago when Rich had us read this passage twice, because one of the things I thought about as I was working on this message Sunday was I could take that one phrase and use the whole message. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. But today I just want to break it down to basics. The Bible says there are two realities about the Christian life that are constantly true, things you can hang on to no matter what. There is always a definite beginning, that moment when you receive Christ Jesus the Lord. He says, "As you received." And when Paul wrote those words, he wrote it as a past tense experience. This is something that has happened in your life. You once were without him, but now you belong to him. You have trusted him as Savior, and you follow him as Lord. One of the things that has to be true about every genuine Christian is that you have to be able to describe the time you received Christ Jesus as Lord. You have to be able to say, "I can tell you what happened to me." Now understand something. You may not remember exactly the date. You may not remember exactly the year. But you have to remember what happened in your life. You have to be able to talk about, "I remember when I received Christ Jesus." Because it's one of those things that burns itself into your life. It's kind of like having a baby. the birth of a newborn. If you ever talk to the mother of a newborn and say, well, tell me about when your child was born. One thing she's not going to say is, oh, I don't know, it was a month or two ago. I remember something about a hospital. I looked down one day, this child was there. I'm not really sure, but I carried it home. No, what's going to happen? Tell me about when your child was born. I can tell you exactly what happened. I can tell you who the doctor was. I can tell you who the nurses were. I can tell you who came to visit in the hospital. I can tell you everything about what happened. I can tell you what an exciting thing it was when for the very first time I got to hold my baby in my arms. And you will hear everything that you need to know about this incredible moment that's happened in a family's life. And receiving Christ is just as important. Where were you? What happened? What did you pray? How did you feel? Who did you talk to? Tell me about that experience. Several years ago, I got a telephone call from the son of one of the members of my last church. And this son had gotten involved in a church that was really kind of way, way out there somewhere. And he said, you know, my wife and I have been talking, and we are convinced that my father is not a Christian. And I said, well, you know what? I see him every Sunday. I see how he acts and how he walks. We're convinced he is not a Christian. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to talk to your dad. And I asked him to come over and sat down. And you know what I said to him? I said, talk to me about when you came to know Christ. And he did. He carried me. He told me about a revival service that was taking place. He told me about the feeling that he had in his heart. He talked to me about how when the invitation came, he felt that compelling moving of the Holy Spirit, and he knew he had to do something. He talked about walking forward, and he talked about his baptism. And he said, now, I haven't always been perfect, but I have never wondered about my faith. And I called his son back and I said, can I ask you a question? You've had all these doubts about your dad. I said, have you ever asked him to talk to you about when he trusted Christ? No. Well, maybe you should. There's a definite experience when you come to be a Christian. You never say, I'm sure I'm a Christian. I've gone to church all my life. I've been a part of this church for years and years. I've been in Sunday school. I've taught classes. I have served in all kinds of leadership roles. I'm sure I must be a Christian. What really matters is when you sit down and say, tell me what happened to you. As you have received Christ Jesus. There is a definite beginning to the Christian life. Nobody ever roamed into the kingdom of God. You take a step of faith and you trust Him. Along with the definite beginning, the Bible also says there is a definite commitment to walk in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. To be a Christian is not to believe about Jesus. It is to believe in Jesus as Lord. I trust Him, and because I trust Him, I walk in Him. When you receive Him as Savior, you walk with Him as Lord. One of the mistakes that it seems the modern church has made, at least in America, is to separate those two experiences, to somehow give out that idea that you can have Christ as your Savior, you can ensure eternal life, you can know that forever is settled, and still not really have to walk with Him. You can still kind of choose your own path. You can treat the Christian life like a grocery store where you walk down the shelves and you take the parts you like and leave behind the Brussels sprouts. If you love Brussels sprouts, shame on you. You can't pick and choose. You walk in Him. I have received Christ Jesus as Lord. Therefore, I will walk in Him. I will live my life as a disciple. It's like that newborn child we just talked about. Parents don't celebrate the birth of a child. They don't say, come and look, see our new baby. This is so exciting. We are so thrilled. And then set that child aside and say, well, that's it. They don't have folks who show up at their house in a month or 3 months or 6 months or a first birthday and say, oh, move along. There's nothing to see here. Birth happened a long time ago, and that's all that really counts as far as this child is concerned. No. They are deeply invested. I was listening to the news driving in this morning, and there was this discussion going on about this couple, a celebrity couple, who had had a child, and they made the decision when their child was born. Now, we're going to be parents Monday through Friday, but the weekends we reserve for ourselves, we're going to go somewhere else and just leave that baby at home. I don't know who with, but they were talking to some experts, and one of them said, the best way you can raise your children is to care about yourself most and then let them see how much you care about yourself. And I thought to myself, you idiot. Because what happens when children come into your life, they become your life. You invest yourself in them. You pour your life into theirs. In the spiritual world, the same thing is true. You pour your life out. The beginning is only the beginning. One of the great things that I get to do as a pastor is to get to visit newborn babies. I get to go to the hospital while everybody else is at work in the middle of the morning. I get to go and visit babies. And to see that light in the eyes of their parents, the wonder of it all, and get to hold that child, be one of the first ones, that's always fun. And get to pray. And I always pray, and I thank God for the birth of a child, and I thank God for His faithfulness, and I thank God for blessing this family. But there's one other thing that I always do when I pray with a family and with a newborn. And I always pray and I thank God for the day that child was born. And we pray together for the day when he will be born again. And those parents understand because they're Christian, godly parents. That's our job. Our job is to influence our family, to lead our family, to bless our children in such a way that when the time comes that it's time to say yes to Jesus, they're ready. And when they come, what a blessing. Never forget years ago when I was a youth minister, Judith and I had barely been married. We didn't even have children out in sight anywhere. And one of my young people came to accept Christ. He was the youngest of three brothers and the last one to make his profession of faith. And after he come forward that morning and after he'd given his life to Christ, I was talking to his mom over on the side, and she said to me, now everybody's safe. And I didn't really understand, but I do now. And one of the things that is true of us as we walk with God is that there is this process of following Him. This is God's call on your life as a disciple. You are to let your life and your words point the way to Jesus. What is my job as a disciple? It's not to be able to check off a list of things that I've done the right way or the right places I've been. It is simply to let my life and my words point the way to Jesus. When Christ came in human flesh, he came to reveal his Father. He said, nobody's ever seen the Father, but now you've seen me. And through his life and his actions, he showed people what God is like. He showed them the living presence of God among them. That's called incarnation. Jesus came to be the incarnation of Almighty God. And when we walk in Him, we are to incarnate the life of Christ. To make the presence of Jesus real to everyone who sees us and everyone who hears us. Colossians also tells us that a living faith experiences genuine spiritual growth. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, then the Bible says you are to be rooted and built up in Him. Remember what we learned from the vineyard over these last few weeks? We learned there's to be a balance between the visible and the invisible. That the roots provide the nourishment, the branches provide the fruit. The same thing is true about a healthy believer. There is a balance between the visible and the invisible. The Bible says you are to be rooted in a private faith. That's the part of you that nobody sees except the Lord. That's that part of you that when somebody asks about you, is he, is she a Christian? That person really can't answer because that's your private faith. They can say, I see all the evidence of Christ in them. I watch the way they walk with Him. But the real truth is, when you ask the question, are you a Christian? The only persons who can answer that are you and your Lord. And only you know how real your private faith is. I can stand up here in front of you as I do from time to time, and I can say to you, you need to build a life that is built upon the Word of God. You need to have a daily experience with Christ through His Word. You need to make time every day to talk to the Lord about what's going on in your life. You need to make a commitment to walk and live for Him. But the only one who knows whether you do any of those things is you. You're the only one who knows what the quality of your spiritual life is. Only you know how deep your private roots go. And it is in your private faith that the growth truly takes place. Am I becoming what God wants me to be? I don't know. What are your roots like? How deep do they go? How far do they stretch? How much do they change what's going on in your life? You have to have a private faith. But then the Bible goes on and it says that you have to be built up in your public walk. You are rooted and you are built up. And that's the part that is obvious for everyone to see. There's an oxymoron that a lot of people grab hold of when they talk about their spiritual life. They say, I want to be a serious follower of Jesus, but I want to keep it to myself. I don't want anybody else to really know what's going on in me. I want to keep it private. Well, you got that private faith, but you've also got to have a public walk. You've got to be willing to stand for Christ. I was talking with someone a couple of days ago about how much things have changed in my lifetime. When I was growing up out in Pleasant Grove, one of the things I remember is every time we had any kind of election in our town, anytime folks were running for mayor or city council or school board or whatever else, we'd always get those little cards, you know, there'd always be a flyer left on your door in your mailbox, whatever, and it would say, this is where I work and this is what qualifies me and this is where I've served and here's other things I've done. But there was one thing that was always there. You know what it was, don't you? And this is where I go to church. And this is where I teach Sunday school. This is something about my faith. And now we live in a day when you're supposed to keep your faith to yourself. When if it's too obvious, there might be problems. You know what I think about that? What an incredible opportunity we have. What an incredible opportunity to let our walk show that we belong to Him. Two words mean everything where a fruitful faith is concerned. The first one is authenticity. Let it be real. If it's not real, don't talk about it. You know, I'm convinced that probably the type of person who keeps more people away from Christ than anybody else is not an atheist or a lost person or a pagan or a heathen. I think the people who keep Christ, more people away from Christ, are those who claim his name, but they don't live authentically. And folks say, oh, no, no, I know what you people are like. I've watched these folks that say one thing and do another and this and that. And we have to be authentic. And then the second word is transparency. And it has to be obvious, open, transparent. We are to walk in him. God's plan is for your fruit to be lasting fruit. The Lord plans for there to be strong branches. Colossians says you are to be established in the faith. Strong branches that are firmly grafted into the vine. There's no danger that they're going to dry up or blow away. They are established in the vine. They are bearing fruit. And that's the secret. One of the things that strikes me about these two verses that we read together this morning is Paul's repetitive use of two little words, in him, in him. And that's the key to spiritual strength, not relying on how strong you are or how godly you've become. The secret is a constant reliance on him. That's what Jesus taught us, wasn't it? I'm the vine, you're the branches. The fruit's coming through you, but I'm the source. And there is no other way. And it's always been that way. John didn't just say that in John 15. That's how the whole gospel began in John 1, because there the Bible says, in him was life. And all the life we have is in him. And if we're going to have a fruitful life, it's going to be because we've established ourselves in him. The Lord plans for there to be an abundant harvest. When you've received Christ as Savior, when you're walking with him as Lord, when you're rooted and built up, when you're established, when you are in him, then the fruit will come. Not from you, but through you, to the glory of God. Sometimes we ask the question, what is God's plan for my life? Colossians tells us that God's plan is the same for every believer: abundance. In him, you will experience abundance. In your faith, in your walk, in your influence, in your fruit, in your life, in your witness. God's plan for you is abundance. He doesn't want any of us as believers to just settle for a little bit or to just have a trickle of faith. But when we are in him, we are to experience abundant life. Now that fruit's going to look like all kinds of things. But you'll know your fruit. You know how you'll know your fruit? You'll know your fruit by saying, this would not be part of my life. This would not be part of my influence. This would not be part of who I am apart from Jesus. It all finds its source in him. So I ask you this morning, as we come to the conclusion of this study, so where are you in him? Have you received Christ Jesus as Lord? Have you made that decision to walk with Christ? Are you growing in him? Are you established in him? Are you bearing fruit in him? Maybe you're here today, you're lost. You don't know Jesus. You know about him. Maybe you know more about him than most of the people around you, but you don't know him. Today might be the day when you need to come to know Christ as Savior. And in just a moment when we stand and sing our invitation hymn, I'm going to be at the front, Rich is going to be here, either one of us would be glad to talk to you about how you can come to know Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. Or maybe you're here today and you're realizing, I've been trying to live my spiritual life in me, and it's time for me to make a change in my life. It's time for me to be dependent on Jesus. It's time for me to be found in Him, strengthened and established in Him. Maybe you need a church family where you can grow. This is a great place. There are great teachers and leaders who will be glad to help you grow in your discipleship. Is there a decision you need to make today? We're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn, and it's going to be your time to come and place your life in Him. Will you come? Let's stand together. Let's sing.